It's your host, Nine, and this is Season 2.
Sign on our face gives us 2020 vision. We move space and time, say it with me, we have risen.
All right. Welcome to the In Tune Instrument Podcast. We've been gone for a little while, and now we're back.
And now we're back from outer space. Because you just saw this in your bathtub, and you put it on your face.
I really don't know what that was. Actually, it's been very exciting. I think the last couple of podcasts of Season 2, I just moved to Mexico. And Mexico has been pretty freaking amazing. Of course, with any move, especially out of the country, you know, going to another country, you're going to have things that you have to acclimate to. But I have to say, it's been pretty cool. And today's special guest is someone else who also lives in Mexico. Actually, she moved to Mexico the same time I moved to Mexico. My wife, Nikki.
Yay! Yes, we did. To be fair, though, you did move here first. I was still hunkering down before we could officially get... You got here first, then.
Yeah. Well, by the time all of our stuff was moved here, we were both here.
Makes sense.
Yeah. It's been pretty cool here. Actually, I wouldn't even say a culture shock. We had some stuff that's like, oh, that's different. But
more like with like an excitement, like, ooh, that's different. Like, yeah. I like that. I like this difference and this adjustment.
Exactly. Like, we went to
the market.
Okay, yeah, the market. We actually just got back from the market today. And the market is actually really, really cool.
I'm going to shake my ice cubes at you. There we go.
You gonna tell them what you just shook at them?
Nope, just I shook my ice cubes. No, it's a big, giant coconut cream drink that is vegan and delicious. I can't have ice cream, so it was a very proper milkshake substitute that I am now addicted to. Mm-hmm. And I want to put Oreos in it next time. It's my fantasy.
So here's the market, all right? Not only does it bring your fantasies to you, mm-hmm. but it's like every single week, everything you need comes to your community. Mm-hmm. All right? So, like, literally, farm raised, are veggies any other way?
Farm raised veggies.
Whatever. You know what I'm talking about. you got all types of veggies from the farm. Did I say that better?
Yeah.
You got meats from the ranch? From the animals. You have people that come in with like a booth full of electronics. Like, I just got an iPad yesterday. There's like so many booths with just like clothes. Mm-hmm. Just so many clothes. There's people that are just like cooking the most amazing tacos.
Pizza.
Oh, there's so much pizza. And it's the market just smells amazing. There's so much to see. It's festive. Everyone's happy. And it all just comes to you. It's like a mall that comes to you. Yeah. And for us, it's every single weekend. We get the mall that comes to us every single weekend, and we can just leave our house and walk.
Mm-hmm. They have drink. I mean, like all the ice creams and stuff. They have like the ice cream, and then next to the ice cream is like the sorbet place, and then there's the different like drink guy who's got like 15 different buckets of different kinds of delicious things, and mm-hmm. then the snow cone guy. It's like just so many things you can snack on, so many things that you can literally get meals and bring them home. And anything you think like, oh man, I need like a bed frame or patio furniture or fishing gear, like what you think it, and it is there somewhere at the market. Mm-hmm. Surrounding a park, so kids can run around, have a great time. The ocean is a 3-minute walk away. We totally stopped there today for some ceremony. There's incredible, incredible things.
Mm-hmm. And that's just right outside our house. And that's Mexico. We've actually moved once since we've been here. So the place that we were at, they had when we first moved here, it was called La Misión. And they had a really cool market that showed up on Mondays. And it was kind of smaller because La Misión is a little smaller area. And where we are now, we've actually moved from La Misión the past couple of months. Where we are now, they actually have like a humongous market that comes every single weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And it's just freaking awesome. Like, I literally look forward to the weekend to go to the market. And I can just walk around and, like, socialize and be antisocial if I want to. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, and we're starting to, like, recognize people's faces. Like, you know, the guy that we bought the furniture from, we got to know his name and we saw him yesterday and then we got to see him today and just kind of like, you know, smile and wave and, like, just having that sense of community. Like, I'm starting to get to know these people and... You know, the guy who delivered our furniture, he's also a mechanic. And he's like, yo, if you ever need any mechanic work done, I'm your guy. And, you know, the taco guy, you know, he knows what we look like now. As soon as he sees us, he lights up. And mm-hmm. that makes me feel good. I light up when I see him light up.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sings when he makes tacos.
Oh, those tacos are amazing. Like, for real, if you ever get a chance to have, how do you say it, birria?
Birria.
Mm-hmm. Tacos? Oh my God. Especially if you can get them from someone who's singing in happiness or telling jokes while they're cooking it.
Yeah.
Like, he just put this love into it. Mm-hmm. And birria?
Birria.
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 It's like, it's beef, but it's like this saucy, it's like made in this saucy, juicy. I wanted to say beautiful, but beautiful juices. And then they take that, the juice out of, I mean, the meat out of the soup, and then cut that up. And then they take your tortillas and they dip that in the soup and put that on the grill so it gets like
a little crisp,
but it has that soup flavor mm-hmm. on the outside. And then they put the meat, the soupy meat, inside of the tortillas with cilantro and salsa and onions. Oh my God. It is just, it's heaven in your mouth. Like, literally.
Mm-hmm. We've had that twice. We had it today for lunch and yesterday for lunch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it was your first time too having it was yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our first time having it was yesterday and we went back out again today and was like, yeah, we can get some of that.
Yeah.
But anyway, we just wanted to update you on what's been going on in Mexico. As you can see, we're really enjoying it here. It's a beautiful, beautiful place.
We've been here 6 months?
Yeah.
Since January.
It's been exactly 6 months. And this trip to the market, it actually brought up some things that we want to talk to you about. When we went to the market, actually, we went to go get some tacos from the same place we went to yesterday, and they were sitting down eating, and you already know the food is good when they eating their food.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just like, yo, you got to come back later in an hour because it's our time to eat. And I'm like, all right, cool. So during that hour, we actually went to the beach. And we were talking about our journeys. Actually, for me, I was talking about my journey. I know I talked a lot in the podcast about, you know, going to the Ozarks, nomading around the country. But this morning, before we went to the market, I actually woke up to a huge realization. A lot of people call these downloads, these realizations, where you just get, like, hit with this information. All of a sudden, it's like the things start connecting. You're like, oh my God, that's what that was? but anyway, so, and the big realization was this. It was the fact that a lot of us, number one, don't really understand free will. And because of that, energetically, forces can work through us to energetically, how would you say that?
I was seeing it as disharmony.
Disharmony,
because
yeah.
Because if we're operating from the highest, most optimized level of free will, every single one of us optimized in this way, that means we all go to where we belong, and now there's a harmony in the collective. There's a harmony in space. Imagine like outer space, and all of the stars go into the right location where they belong, and we all have room for each other. So there's this harmony. But if we are operating from a place of not free will, or the illusion of free will, because we were also talking about how there could be an illusion of free will of thinking, oh, I'm operating from free will. But a lot of times we have these unconscious forces from our conditioning, our belief system, our fears, and that's, you know, it's not punishable or anything. It's just, you know, it's, we're all going through it, and we're all transcending and transmuting these conditions. The intent is to operate from free will, but operating from condition is still most prevalent, and therefore creates a disharmony within the self. But then that means that there's also going to be a disharmony in the collective that we are all now subject to, even if we're all trying to operate from a higher free will place.
Exactly. You said that way better than I was putting words to it.
I'm the words person.
But it's so true. Like, and just given my experiences, and these are the words that popped into my head this morning. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're the most perfect words. I'm not the words person. I'm the picture person. I see things in pictures. I see things in energy felt, and sometimes the words that I use does not actually match the what I am seeing or feeling. But the words person, my wife, can usually figure out what those words are, which is always awesome.
So you say what you say, and maybe it'll help formulate whatever needs to come next.
Exactly. So what I was being shown this morning, was how, for lack of better words, throughout my life, I have been energetically kidnapped multiple times, many times. and I was being shown like how that looks. Number one, I knew that in my nomading journey, it was to show me where I needed to put up boundaries, because I really didn't have much. It was just like, I want to help everybody and this, that, whatever. And like, I could see that a lot of my energy was just going out to people and not being reciprocated in any way. And so it kind of left me drained. And so the nomading journey, in the beginning, I realized, okay, I need some boundaries. And I thought, okay, cool. And then I was just being shown how, like, energetically, I would get to a place, it would seem magical, and I'd be like, okay, cool, yeah, I'll go there. And then once I got there, it would almost be like the doors closed behind me, and then the real place showed its face. And I felt like I was stuck and I couldn't get out of it. And like all of the things that it hadn't showed me in the beginning, all of the more painful things, now those were showing their face at a time where it felt like I could not get out. Like I would try to leave the situation, and it just felt like every door was closed. And I was just like, huh, this is weird. This seemed like such a magical place, but now that I'm here, all these things that weren't discussed ahead of time and weren't agreed upon ahead of time are now being forced upon me. And that, it really feels, when you're in that situation, it really feels, what do you call that? The word is not coming to mind, but It's like when you when you're somewhere and you feel like you can't get out, you just feel so defeated in a way. And that's really why I wanted to talk about. Actually, Nikki said it was probably great to talk about this for others who are going through this. Because in that situation where it's like, oh my God, it's going to be so magical. And then you get in it and it's like, well, all these other things were not shown to me. And now I feel super stuck. That, for lack of a better word, is kind of an energetic kidnapping. My words are really failing me right now. It kind of goes against your free will, because free will is something where when you agree upon something, all of the things should be there. All of the things you're agreeing upon should be shown to you beforehand. And when they're not, that's just no bueno. I'll give you an example. One of the reasons why we had to move from our last place, it seemed super magical. It seemed like the most amazing place ever. But one of the things that we were told that we were going to get from the landlord, once we moved in, it was taken away from us. Our access to that area of the property was taken away from us, and the landlord was using it for his own means. And it just looked like we were never going to be able to use it. And that area of our property was a reason, a humongous reason why we decided to rent there.
Yeah, we passed up other places that were great, but they didn't have this space that we really needed.
Exactly.
And then when we were trying to talk to the landlord about like, hey, what about this space? What about this space? He'd be like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll get back to you in a week. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll take care of it in a week. And then it turned like this week turned into a month, turned into another month. And then it became clear, like even when we talked to him again, when it seemed like it was actually going to be happening soon, he also like offhandedly mentioned this other project essentially that would eventually be going in that space as well. But didn't say it to us. He said it to someone else passively. And it's like, we're never going to get that space. We're never actually going to get it. Mm-hmm. We were strung along for months.
Exactly. And that is an energetic kidnapping. That is, especially when it's time for us to move. And he's like, well, you know, I'm going to keep your deposit. No, you're not. Because what we agreed upon, you took away after we moved in. That's going against someone's free will. And so I think it's actually good on both sides to talk about this, not just on the side of if this happened to you, but also looking at, see, a lot of us have been programmed in this world of capitalism and things like that to do stuff like that. Hey, let's just get them in the deal and then we show them what it's about. That is not good.
That's not operating from the frequency of free will, because what you're doing is you are unknowingly taking the free will away from someone else when you do something like that. Because in free will, there has to be that transparency of truthfulness. Because if I'm acting from my free will and it's like, I want to go on this and I want to do this and I want to experience this, so I'm going to look around and try to find people who also want to do those things or provide those things. And then I'm going to put my energy towards that. And if they're honest and I'm operating from my free will, now we're going to cultivate the thing that I wanted to pursue in the first place. But if I'm working with someone who's just out to get my dollar and screw me in the end, they're going to create this anomaly. I am in the dark. I'm not going to actually be able to operate from my free will now. And they're not able to operate from their free will, because just the act alone of trying to screw someone is not operating from a high enough place to get us to a better place in humanity as a collective. Like
mm-hmm. Exactly. And it actually, it reminds me of something that I was taught from a shaman in the Ozarks about what real black magic is. See, a lot of people they think of black magic, and they think of all types of things from the movies and stuff like that. But how he broke it down as to what real black magic, true black magic really is, it was simple. Black magic, true black magic, is having someone agree to do something and making them think that your intent is a certain way when you know your intent is different. That's black magic.
Hmm. Yeah.
You are putting them in the dark on something. That's black magic.
Yeah. A common one would be like a love spell. It's mm-hmm. like someone casting a love spell on another person. And that goes against free will. That means that now you're taking that person's free will away so you can instill your will upon that person to mm-hmm. try and create some idea of what, you know, what that person wanted.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And what that does is, number one, if you're doing things like that, it shows that you don't, especially in the if you consider yourself quote unquote spiritual person, you're on this, what do people call it? The ascension
journey
or whatever. It shows that you don't truly trust mm-hmm. your universe mm-hmm. because you think that you have to take away somebody else's free will choice to be with you or to do whatever it is that you're trying to do.
To pursue your own happiness.
Instead of allowing the universe to match you up with the perfect compliment that you wouldn't even have to lie to. They want to do all that stuff. They have the exact same intent as you. But when you pull the rug over someone else's eyes that you know doesn't have the same intent as you, you're blocking yourself from getting the universe who's sending you that thing that actually does match your intent. So not only are you blocking them, but you're also blocking yourself.
Mm-hmm. So that this is an aspect of this that you and I didn't talk about, kind of that trap people get each other into because of passive, I mean, it's just lying, you know, straight up just lying or pulling the rug over people like that. And I think that's a really important piece of this as well. Can we like backtrack to like that pocket thing we were talking about? Mm-hmm. Because in the operation of free will, if you have people, now we can talk about individual people operating from a place of not in free will and acting more from the conditioning and things like that. And then you have people that are trying to be more in their free will at an individual level. But there's also the collective level, because we've got whole groups of people that believe a certain way, do a certain thing. You know, I mean, look at how codependent love, and I will air quote the word love because codependency is not really love, but for how long were we taught a lot of codependent sort of behaviors are the way we should identify romantic love and things like that. And that's those sort of conditionings that take away from people's free will. Along with millions of others. I mean, governments and how people, you know, religious beliefs and political views. And I mean, we live in a world that has been cultivated with conditioning, which means that we have not, as a collective, been operating from a place of the most optimized, most liberated free will for individuals and the collective. But that means anytime we are in a group, if we're in a group and everyone is operating from a place of conditioning, that means no matter what, some amount of that person's behaviors, actions, are going to influence the people around them. Sometimes it's for the better, sometimes it's for the worst. And so what we do affects each other. If we operate from an optimized place of free will, we're optimizing the harmony of all of us, which means that everybody goes into their rightful place. But if we're acting from a place of conditioning, And even if people think they're operating from free will, but it's still conditioning, we're going to create these spaces that are, one, empty. Imagine the space. And if there is disharmony, that means there's going to be imbalances. So in this space, there's going to be empty pockets and there's going to be packed pockets. And this is going to create a disharmony, an imbalance, some chaos. It means that people even trying to operate from a place of free will can end up stuck in these pockets because still collectively, we are still surrounded by people that are not operating from this condition or from this higher, you know, free will optimized sort of place. I'm thinking about it from a collective, like bird's eye view kind of way, looking at the planet, we literally have whole civilizations of human beings that literally don't even have a place to live, that they can't call their own piece of land because they have been purged from the land. They have been pushed out of the land. Just think of Palestinians. They don't have a country right now. And so they literally are being pushed into other people's pockets, like other people's energy spaces, because everybody else has been taking away the free will of the Palestinians. And this is true for any group that has been treated like this. Anytime you see a group that doesn't have a place to belong, they've been pushed. They've been pushed into a pocket. And it's against their free will. So it's like there still has to be this harmony. But when people think, oh, free will, I get to do whatever I want. In a way, that's not what free will is. Free will is more complex than whatever you want. Because one, you have to understand what's your conditioning. What are your fears? Are you acting from those places? And is what you're doing going to affect the people around you? And if so, how? And does it affect the free will of other people?
Exactly. Exactly. I like to, there's a lot of people that when they think about it, like you said, with the, I want to do whatever I want. And then you see them impacting other people's free will. And it's like, now you're making it so that other people can't do what they want. That's not free will. Mm-hmm. That's not harmony.
Mm-hmm. So how would you define free will?
For me, free will is kind of the same as common law. Mm-hmm. It's, you do get to do what you want as long as you are not impacting someone else and their property.
Mm-hmm. That's the pagan, the Wiccan mantra is harm none, do what you will.
Exactly. There we go. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that was what it is, but that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Harm none, do what you will. Mm-hmm. And harming others includes their stuff. So
physical, mental, emotional,
spiritual, also their land and their cars and their, you know what I'm saying? Like
their time.
I remember hearing a lot of people not really understanding that about free will, like the other side of free will. They think about more, you know, what they want to do, but not how they're impacting others. One example, there are people that, and this is very small and it can be even comical, but there are those who don't want to wear shoes anywhere. And that's fine. But then they go to a business. It could be like a hardware store. And the owner is like, you have to wear shoes here. And the person, like I remember actually seeing these people that are getting mad at the owners and telling them about their rights and they have a right to not wear shoes anywhere and this, that, whatever. And I'm just like, but you're in his business. Mm-hmm. He has a right to not allow you to be there because this is his property. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, because my father was a general contractor, you're in there with, you know, all these, like, it's actually a liability to him. Mm-hmm. If something falls on your feet and your toes get broken. So he has every right to not want you to do that in his property. Mm-hmm. And I would just see people like they would call the police on the owner of the business. And I'm just like, now you're impeding on his free will for his business.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like it's.
And all the owner's trying to do is to protect himself. Mm-hmm. and he doesn't want his free will to be overrun by someone else's, whatever that is, because like you said, now he has to consider, well, if they step on a piece of wood or a nail or something, they have to go to the hospital, they get tetanus, like all of a sudden that's on him. So he's looking at it from the perspective of, that could be hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars in future law and medical claims. Or he could simply just tell this person, I need you to wear shoes if you're going to be in my establishment. Mm-hmm. And that person has every right to say, okay, well, then I won't shop here. I will shop somewhere that will allow me to walk barefoot. That is free will. Free will is saying, I have a choice to not shop here. If I truly believe that I must always be barefoot wherever I am, I will go find establishments that are okay with me walking around barefoot. And I will do that research because that is my responsibility, because that is another huge part of free will is the, and this ties in with sovereignty, which is, you know, a huge topic for us, is being sovereign, claiming your free will means that you are claiming more responsibility on yourself.
We have risen.